Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Let's make sure we record. Do you know if
you know,
is it on?
Your attitude is seriously lacking.
So it got the ambient mic, got everything.
Did they tell you my joke that I told them? And I don't think it flew very well between the two of them.
Oh no.
How many radio DJs does it take to record one podcast? Apparently three, because two can't do it.
I'm still laughing at it.
I laughed when I typed that text. I'm like, they're not going to laugh at this. Oh, this is hurtful.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was a gentle version, wasn't it?
Did you like that?
Yeah,
like,
finally, sounds right. I mean, that joke never gets old for me.
Welcome back, Sam Farmer.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Excited to be back.
And I haven't said this a whole lot. Welcome back, Josh.
I know. I feel like it's been forever. I'm excited.
Yeah, Larry Morgan is on assignment. And I'm Andy Chanley. Thanks for joining us for Your Artificial Friends. First things first. I think it's a beer episode,
because
it's been forever.
Yes.
And I just recently made a Costco run.
Oh, excellent.
So I got a couple of items here.
Oh. Now, did you buy like 50 of those beers?
Actually, I think this came from Target. But now that I think of it.
I think of Target.
But this is the Blue Moon Honey Wheat Brewers Select.
Very light pour for me, because I'm on the diet train.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so just a little,
yeah, just a taste.
Little dibble.
More for me.
Perfect.
Smells good.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's got it's not too light of a color. Kind of a goldenish, but not like a pilsner. I don't know. I'll describe the color, Andy.
It's like my pee.
I was gonna say urine, but I'm like, do we really want to go down that hole this early in the show? All right. It tastes
bad.
Like beer.
Yeah.
It's definitely got a beer taste to it.
It's
a little light, right?
It's kind of like Budweiser.
It tastes like Coors Light.
Yeah. It has a little more meat than
the
Coors Light,
yeah,
but
so does water.
Yeah, kind of a buddy kind of thing there. It's not awful though.
This would be good with breakfast.
That reminds me, this is not going to be an episode of Andy's Ailments. But I went before I got my clearance for surgery, and I go in there, and they want a urine sample. And I go in, and they take me into the room where, you know, next door is the bathroom where you go in and you do that. She hands me the specimen cup, and they've got all these specimen cups lined up from the morning of everybody else that's given one. They're like fucking brown. I'm like, Jesus.
How'd you not start gagging?
I said to the nurse, I'm like, somebody needs to drink some water.
He's like, is that maple syrup?
But I figured I better wait and see what mine came out before I got it.
Reminds me of an old coworker story. Now, this was pretty bad. I gotta tell you this, though. A guy I worked with, he swears up and down, Drew, his brother-in-law and his sister had been having a hard time getting pregnant. And so they went to specialist after specialist, and they went to a new one, and the nurse asked for a sample. And so he went in the bathroom.
A sample of his semen.
He went in the bathroom and he had to produce this, but there weren't implements or anything.
No magazines.
Yeah, yeah. But he finally did it, came out, and the nurse said, I wanted a urine sample. And apparently they brought in a hazmat crew to clean the bathroom. And they had to leave. They never went back to that doctor. They were so ashamed. So whether that happens,
they'd rather be childless.
Yes. You about drop the cup.
you heard the old joke. This is ages old, but hotshot walks into a bar and he says, "Bartender, I want some 20-year-old scotch." And he's like, "All right, here you go." Pours him a shot. He goes, what is that? That's like 12-year-old scotch. I said 20-year-old scotch. He's like, all right. Just, you know, wanted to make sure I wasn't going to waste it on somebody who wouldn't know the difference. Pours him a shot of scotch. The guy takes it and drinks it down. He goes, that's 18-year-old scotch. Look, all right, if you're going to screw with me, I'm going somewhere else. He's like, hold it. I've got the good stuff. He goes up to the top shelf, brings it down, pours him a shot. Guy takes it, knocks it back, goes, 20-year-old single malt. There's nothing like it. All this time, Otis the drunk's down at the end of the bar taking all this in. He goes down there and he puts a shot glass in front of him. He goes, try this one. He goes, all right. Not to, you know, have his palate be put into question. He takes it and knocks it back. He goes, oh, God, that tastes like piss. He goes, it is. Guess how old I am. Oldie but a good. Sam, you went to the Super Bowl.
I went to the Super Bowl, yep.
Where are you going now?
Not Disneyland, I'll tell you that. I'm taking a little time off, but yep. It was a great soup. Not a great outcome for the Rams, and it would have been really nice to see that for LA.
America.
Or America.
Or civilization.
Exactly. But I had a great week. did some fun things, and I thought, yeah, so what different stuff did I do?
Let me tell you something real quick. I was the week before, that I think it's during the bye week when the Goodell does his State of the Union.
Yeah,
I'm in my boss's office, and she's got this thing for Roger Goodell. She can't stand him, right? So she's got the State of the Union going on in the background on her computer, and we're doing work, and we're talking about something. And all of a sudden, I hear I don't even know what he's talking about. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice, and I'm like, I think that's Sam Farmer just asked him a question.
Yeah.
I say to my boss, Maria, I'm like, I think that's my friend right there. I'm like, I think it's my friend Sam. And he goes, well, Sam, let me tell you. And I'm like, yeah. We're asking him about all of California's teams not having leases on stadiums or something like
that. Right. Three teams playing in temporary stadiums. Yeah. And what are the Raiders going to do? I had dinner with Roger Goodell the night before, which was really fun. A small group of us, five reporters. And then I spent some time with Tony Romo and Jim Nance, who were terrific.
Did Tony guess what you were going to have for dinner? At this point, I think Sam's going to have a stroganoff, maybe. Yes.
Oh, you know how fat he is. He's probably having two. So, and there were some fun stories. One story that I wrote was one that I mentioned on this show a year ago about the guy who found Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring in his couch.
That's crazy. Right.
And I went. And I'd written about him in 2008 in just in a very cursory, 2007, a very cursory way. So I went and found the guy on Facebook, sent him a Facebook message, and he messaged me back, and that started a conversation. And I got the details on how Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring wound up in his couch. And it's a wild, that's it was insane. A fun story. It was a neat thing. I can explain it
to
you.
Yeah, please.
So, Walter Payton was an assistant volunteer basketball coach at a high school in Chicago.
This is after his
playing his days. Yeah, and this was like mid-90s, and they had a pizza party at one of the kids' houses, and Walter Payton came and he brought his Super Bowl ring, his only Super Bowl ring, and the kids passed it around that night, and everybody got to hold it and wear it, and it was sort of a bonding experience, a trust building exercise, everything. Well, got to the end of the night, it was missing. And they brought the police in, they filed a police report, they thought somebody had stolen it, and
real trust building.
Exactly. Glad you guys trust each other, because I don't trust any of you. And they wound up falling into the deepest recesses of this cheap Naugahyde couch that they had in their basement.
Which is sad in itself. You know how many baby Naugas they have to club to make a Naugahyde couch? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And So, you know, it's like kind of tore apart this community in Chicago of like who took the ring, what happened to Walter Payton's ring. It was an embarrassment, you know.
Sure.
Like, so a couple of years go by. That kid graduates from high school and his family decides to move. They're going to live in a different community. And so they tell the kid's friends, hey, any of this furniture in the basement you want, take it. So Phil Hong, who was the subject of my story, took this couch and a coffee table and an ottoman and a lamp and went off to college. Actually, kept it in his parents' house for a year. Then he went to Purdue. Then he transferred to
Go Boilers.
Southern Illinois. Then he transferred back to Purdue. And he made 7 moves with this couch. And it's just this sort of beat-to-hell frat house type couch. Mm-hmm. And then he got a dog. 2001, Walter Payton has now died 2 years after and had a ring to quietly had a ring made to replace the missing one.
Sure.
And a ball rolled under the couch. The dog dug at the couch, tore the felt lining on the bottom. The ring fell out. So now this guy's got this ring. Unbelievably, he's got Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring in his Purdue apartment.
Now, was he one of the kids that was there the night of the...
He was best friends with the younger brother of that kid. Okay. So he wasn't even at that party.
Oh, okay. Right.
Now, is Walter Payton's name and everything inscribed
yep.
in it?
Oh, yeah.
So he knows exactly he knows. It's
Walter Payton's ring. But he knew of what... Like, he knew how this... Okay,
he said,
knew
as soon
story.
As the ring fell out, I put it together very quickly because it was that well known that Peyton's
sure.
ring
all
was missing.
All of a sudden, he put it on, turned into Gollum. It was
yeah.
just like, I never saw him again.
So here's a college kid in campus housing, which isn't very secure. He's got this ring. Now, to put this in perspective, Refrigerator Perry from that team recently sold his ring at auction for $200,000. So if it's Walter Payton's ring, it's worth at least $250,000, if not more.
Sure, right.
And he can't tell anybody. He's got this ring. So he puts it in the safest place he knows, something place where nobody will find in the apartment. Regrettably, I didn't ask him where that was because I was like, where?
Back in the couch.
My yeah. sock drawer.
And then he... he's okay. How do I alert the family? How do I get to the Payton family? So he doesn't want anybody to know. So he calls the high school football coach and he says, "Don't tell anyone, but I found this ring. Can you alert Connie Payton, Walter Payton's widow, that I have the ring and I'd like to get it back to her?" And so he said, "Okay, I won't." The day later, he gets a call. He gets a call from a friend. He says, "It's all over the Chicago news. You're the one who found Walter Payton's ring, and you've got it in your apartment."
He got it in your apartment.
Now he's
in his pocket right now.
Something about your sock drawer.
Your sock drawer is on the news. Yeah.
So then he's like, now he's panicked. He's got to get the ring to her.
I'm crapping my pants.
And so he ultimately, he works as a bartender. He got a call from a business associate of the Paytons who then says, Connie wants to invite you up to the house to bring the ring. So he brings it. He drives this Ford, this jalopy Ford Probe that has a window bolted up, and 1990 Ford Probe drives it up through the gates of Payton's estate. And there it's lined with media as he comes up and presents Connie Payton the ring. And sort of a happy ending to this is that Walter Payton has 2 kids, Brittany and Jared, and now they both have a ring. Yeah.
Oh,
because
nice.
He had 2 made, so... but anyway, it was really a fun story.
That's great.
So,
you know, the kid, though, that gets the real ring is going to be like, I'm the favorite one, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got the real
ring. Oh, yeah.
No and they're going to constantly remind the other one. You know, hey, that's a cool second ring.
God. I hope that the no fairsies shit stops at some age because these two in the house, oh, my God. I want mine first. I want the first one.
Mm.
Oh, man. That shit never stops.
Yeah, my brother constantly reminded me if we got something, and his was slightly superior, it was a constant reminder. Be like, oh, by the way, this is the better one, right? He's just constantly holding it right in your face. Be like, oh, that stupid one, this one's way better.
Sweet. I remember one time we got three. I have two brothers, and they're both older brothers. And we got three gerbils, okay, those in Maryland. This isn't going there. It's, we got three gerbils. And so we brought them home from the pet store. They were identical, indistinguishable, these three gerbils, certainly to the little kids. And one got behind the couch, and my dad was moving the couch, and he backed up, and he stepped on a gerbil. Oh, and both brothers in unison said, Dad, you killed Sam's gerbil.
and the gerbils rotated up in rank. Meanwhile, you're holding your gerbil.
A day later, Tom, who's the middle brother, his gerbil died in the garage, allegedly. Okay, allegedly, according to Pete, the oldest brother, killed itself by running into Pete's bike tire.
What do you guys do?
That's awful.
What do you guys do? Just wake up in the morning, put the gerbil on the floor, and say, "See you in an hour."
See, I don't know how. We certainly weren't old enough to be responsible for gerbils, but it was interesting and coincidental that the oldest kid's gerbil lasted the longest, and it was in succession.
That is interesting.
And one of them was severely depressed too.
Did I send you guys talking about the Super Bowl? Did I send you this Onion article?
About
it's a picture of Bill Belichick, and it says giant demonic hand bursts out of ground, drags Bill Belichick back to hell. And they've actually photoshopped a giant black
and fire underneath
devil
them.
Hand.
Oh, you sold your soul. And
so are you just excited? Are you just like glad it's over to kind of chill out for a little bit?
I'll chill out for a little bit, but I've got the combine at the end of the month, so I'll go to Indianapolis.
It's at the end of February.
Yeah. What do you get? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
So,
and then when's the draft? In April?
The draft's in April, end of April. And
where's it at this year?
It's in Nashville.
Okay.
Combine's in Indianapolis again?
Combine's in Indianapolis.
And are they doing the draft? Is that like, are they doing the... Was it Thursday? They started Thursday?
They start on Thursday.
They
prime
do the
time.
First, is it just the first round?
They're going to do the first, second rounds in prime time. And then...
The second round is on the next day, though, right?
Or
is
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Second, so the first, it goes first round, second, third round, and then 4 through 7.
And did they extend, did they shorten the times between the picks in the first round? From like a couple of years, from when they were doing
have,
it in 2 days,
yeah,
I thought they kind of shortened that to try to compact it.
We got like 5 minutes. Isn't
make that? It make it more TV friendly. Yeah, right. I believe it's 5 minutes.
5 minutes once they're on the clock.
Right, and it's nice. It speeds it up, and it's kind of fun to. It's an exciting. They made it a nice made for TV event. I mean, if you've really spent a lot of time and done these mock drafts and everything, as a reporter, it's kind of a fun thing to see. How's it falling?
Right.
So when with the mock draft, obviously the college season is over. Do you wait until the combine starts to do your mock, or are you already working on?
Yeah, I'll do one early. I haven't started it yet, but this next week I'll start the mock
war
draft.
Room.
And what I do is I draw up index cards, and I have. As much information as I can put on like half an index card, and then I can keep those with me throughout the draft, and I'm constantly laying them out and rearranging them, and talk to scouts mostly, general managers and scouts, and just see which way they're leaning, what they're hearing. It's just you try to be a clearinghouse of information, and they provide you with a tip that they hear. I hear that. The Colts really like this guy, and
who is it? Tell me. whisper it in my ear.
So that's fun. I like that thing, and I'll cover the LA, the Genesis Open at Riviera this next week. And Jim Nantz was very nice and said, "Hey, I know your son's over on the west side. Do you want him to, I think it'd be fun for him to sit up in the booth with me and Nick Faldo. So next Saturday, he gets to sit
quiet.
Up. Yes, he gets to sit. They'll put a headset on him, and he'll sit up in the 18th, you know, because Tiger's playing. So I think it'll be really fun.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
I'm excited about that.
Where's it played?
Riviera.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's excited about that, and I am for him. So.
Too bad it's not at Trump International.
Oh, yeah. We know that story.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Josh, what have you been up to for the last couple weeks?
Nothing.
No, that's not true.
What did I...
Josh got a water heater.
Oh, I did get a water heater installed. It's Sunday night, right? This is 2 weeks ago. Sunday night happens. And I'm like, okay, Owen, 7 o'clock. Let's get you ready for your bath. He goes up in there. No hot water. Oh. And it happens Sunday night. You know, Sunday night, because you're just like, now what the hell am I going to do? I can't do anything. You know, do I have to call off tomorrow? So I went to work the next day, took a cold shower.
Oh God!
I took a cold shower, and
it's like
when it's 45 degrees outside to begin with.
Oh yeah! There was times where I'm like, I think I'm a female right now. I didn't think that thing could do that far, but Jesus. And I would, I would go in and I would put the shower on, right? And I would leave the door open because I'm like, this is going to be, I'm not enjoying this. This is strictly just to get it done. And I would turn it on and I would stick my head underneath and just be like, and Cindy would still be in bed. And she's like, every morning it would just hear this, whoo! Like, whoo! And then
it takes your breath away.
Yeah. And then it's like, and then I'd hurry up and turn around and get my ass, and then get my junk, and then get some soap on there real quick. And then, but
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Cal's going to take me away.
I take the shower, and this goes on for, so that day I call a heating guy, a water guy, and they're like, okay, we'll come out tomorrow and take a look. All right, so here's round two of freezing morning showers. And now my wife's doing it too, and we're both just like in the morning looking at each other with like blue lips, and it's like 6:30 in the morning. So he comes out. And he quotes me $6,000 to put a water heater. And I'm looking at him, and he's sitting on my living room couch, and he's got a guy beside him, and they're looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, I'm like, is this fucking guy serious? And he's sitting there looking at me, and I'm like, he goes, I know it's a little bit much, but you know, it's all
get
American
out of my
egg.
Fucking house.
And he looks at me, and I go, I think I need to talk to my wife first on this one, because that's a lot of money. And he's like, yeah, I totally understand. And then they just laugh. They're like, we know we're not. Yeah.
You can get a whole air conditioner and furnace for that.
Well, I was like, it better be a fucking pool. I want a pool in my garage if you're going to be putting $6,000. So then the guy that we use for plumbing came in.
My Oscar. Plumber, Oscar. He's great.
Awesome. He comes in and does, because I talked to him like on Wednesday, he's like, I'm in the middle of a job, so I can't do it until Friday. Or no, that Saturday. And then that Saturday morning, so we had to go the rest of the week of cold showers.
Did you think about heating up a pot of water on the stove and then just get a sponge bath?
I thought about that, but I'm like, how long does that take? And
right.
I know I'm going to get too hot, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I got to go to the emergency room because I dumped scalding hot water in my head. And I'm a 40-year-old man, and I just scorched myself in the bathroom. But honestly, by like Friday, I was getting a little bit used to it.
Well, I think you have to start doing is taking the cold shower in the afternoon when it's the warmest it could possibly be.
Well, yeah, sorry, guys. I got to leave for take my lunch break to go home and take a freezing cold shower because now it's super warm in L.A.
So what was the final price tag on that?
The $1,200.
Oh, my God. So that's just criminal. $4,800. I mean, those guys are criminals.
Yeah.
$4,800 savings.
Yeah. A mere saving.
And what'd you do with the money you saved?
I found a coupon. But, yeah, and then you know what? You know what else we did we never talked about?
What?
Is we went to
what's
it called?
Medieval Times.
I took Owen to Medieval Times, and at one point in time, I was like, if they like put some lions out there and a real person, Owen would be like, yes! He was just going nuts. Like, it was like he was at WWF. He was standing up screaming. Yeah!
Does the crowd really get into it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, and.
And how cheesy was
it? It's totally cheesy, but, and that's the best part of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's.
It's self-aware cheesy?
No, no. Actually, sometimes, yeah. Like, they're like, okay, the next, the princess or whatever, the queen's like, I have brought a falconer from beyond the land of blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it's just this pause for like 3 seconds. And then she's like, well, it looks like the falconer got caught up in the land of blah, 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 and won't be joining us this evening. On with the next event. I mean, it was just like, okay, I guess the falcon's not feeling good tonight. And then they did like jousting and fight. It was just, you know, it was just dumb stuff that you felt like your section, you wanted your section to win, right?
Right.
And they would.
So what do you win when your section wins?
Nothing.
No.
Glory. The glory of battle.
Pride of winning.
Yeah. But we had a really great time.
Hold the jousting thought for just a second. Should we move on here to this other one? This was a Costco find. It has a very, William S. Burroughs kind of cover on it here. It's a Liquid Paradise IPA from New Belgium. The people that make the Fat Tire, which I don't care for. But they also make Ranger IPA, which is dandy.
Oh, I love this that Ranger, Ranger IPA. I think I drank for a good 6 months of my life straight.
It's a solid good IPA.
But I don't like the Fat Tire, and a lot of people like that.
I don't care for Fat Tire. No. This is a liquid. It has a certain alang.
You know what?
It's sweet.
I don't like the malt in it. It's a little too malty, I think, where the Ranger's really hoppy.
It's like the cantaloupe of beers to me, where it's just sickly sweet and I can't deal with it.
You know what, though? You know what, Ranger? Every time I drank Ranger, you know what happened? I would get those weird IPA burps.
Yeah, hey, boo boo.
No. When you drink IPA, do you get those weird, like, acid reflux burps?
Not usually.
Because it's so hoppy?
Not usually.
Oh, I get that.
I'll get that sometimes a particularly jammy Cabernet or something like that, where it's just, you know, I just get heartburn from it.
I never drink Cabernet.
Liquid Paradise IPA from New Belgium. Should we have just a little? Him here.
Glass. Beauty. So
a little splash to taste
just
the
a splash. That's exactly
you know,
what I was
Andy,
say.
And I texted you guys yesterday.
Perfect.
Right? So let's talk about that text.
Well, before you move on from the jousting.
Oh, okay.
And Super Bowl. I know you were at the game, Sam, so you probably... here, you want to this?
Thank you.
So you didn't see the commercials.
Right.
There was one. It started out as a Bud Light commercial. And, you know, the dilly dilly and, you know, the king that has the Bud Light and, you know, I'd like a mead or whatever. You know, they put them in the stocks and so forth. They're out at a jousting field, you know, I guess a corollary for the game that's going on, the Super Bowl. And they have these two knights that go to either end of their, you know, the jousting field, the fence. And one knocks the other off, comes over and begins to gouge out the eyes of the one that's on the ground, and then all of a sudden this music starts playing. It's the Game of Thrones music. A dragon flies in from off beyond the horizon and just burns everybody to death, and it shows GOT on the screen. Final season, April 7th. It was started
crossover.
Out as a it was a Bud Light commercial with the king and everybody, and it morphed into a Game of
That's
Thrones
genius.
Commercial before your eyes.
Oh my!
It
God.
Was, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? It was like is there something in my drink. Like I'm watching it with my kids, and I finally figured out how to get so violent the commercials this year. They were violent and creepy. There were horror stories and stuff. So I would get to a commercial if the violence started, gunplay. I'd pause it. Wait 30 seconds and then catch up and skip through it that way. That one though, I wasn't ready for.
I haven't.
Do you want to try this?
I didn't watch any of the commercials. I did watch the Anthony Lynn thing, and I had done a big story on him a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
that
was good. That was really neat. The commercial.
But again, it's sort of a
who sponsored that commercial? was it? Oh, Verizon. Because it was first responders.
Right.
And
right,
he was in an accident.
Yes.
And
he was hit by a car and flew 40 feet in the air and totaled another car when he hit it. And so I had done a big, a long story on that.
It was a moving commercial because the premise was that Anthony Lynn then, who was helped by first responders,
Chargers coach.
was standing in front of a group of first responders in a firehouse, and he was, you know, talking to them about what the work that they do, how it meant so much, you know, to him, and it had and a personal impact. And then they start stepping forward and saying, "Hey, coach, I was the first responder. I was the paramedic who, you know, who took you out of the vehicle. And hey, coach, I was the," and he's like getting overwhelmed by it one by one. It was really moving.
Yeah. It was powerful. Yeah, he's. He's a great guy, and so I did watch that commercial, but I'll have to go back and look at it. I've got it all on tape. I just haven't watched the game.
You know what the closest part of the Super Bowl I watched?
What?
Was Meet the Press was live in Atlanta Sunday morning, and that's about as much as I watched of NFL on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow. Really? Did not watch it? Is that the first Super Bowl you haven't watched in a long time?
Yeah. No, I think no. I didn't watch in like 2000. There was another Patriots soap Super Bowl I refused to watch. Yeah.
Do we have a little
sip? I already sipped it, yeah. It's good.
It's strong.
It's hoppy, but a little sweet. I like it.
Yeah. It's almost like a double.
I'm not a big IPA guy, but I didn't find that too.
This is harsh. I like it. I don't think I could drink like two or three.
No. That'd be, no, and I think it's a higher alcohol content, so you don't want to. Don't want a whole hell of a lot of it.
Yeah.
I have an issue to bring up with you guys. This is an issue that Laura had. I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
We can come back to it.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think there's a name for people like me. Maybe it's lazy. But I have excuses. I have excuses. I can explain.
Your laziness.
Maybe I have explanations more than excuses, it's been a little hard for me to get around at the beginning of the year and so forth. Maybe you've noticed, but maybe not, because you come during the daytime here. But we didn't do a lot. We don't do a lot of external decoration for the holidays. Oh. But I do a strand of lights along my fence. And I put it up there, and I put it on a timer so it goes on at dusk and turns off at dawn. I still have...
You're not one of those people.
I still have the strand of lights up there because I've not gone out to take them down yet. Have you ever... and Laura says that that she's embarrassed. She's mortified that we're one of those people. Have you ever done something like that? Because I'm looking at it now, I'm like, hey, 9.5 months, and it's time to put that shit back up.
On the weekend after New Year's Eve, New Year's is everything comes down. And I'm gonna completely side with Laura on this one. There was down by the old building when we worked on Wilshire.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody off of 6th Street that had the full on yard with the inflatable. Snowmen and Santa. Inflatable Grinch and all that stuff year round, and not turned off laying there deflated, but would turn them on, and it would be like July 30th. And I wanted to drive my car through their yard so bad and just wipe everything. I would see it every day and just be like, why? If I was your neighbor, I would literally just go grab it all and throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, anything past May is embarrassing. But I actually, Paige and I were out on a hike today, and we walked past a house in our neighborhood, and some stuff was blown over in the lawn. It was Halloween stuff.
Oh God!
Yeah, some Halloween scarecrows up on stakes.
Well, now I'm appalled by that.
Yeah.
How dare they?
I've been a little remiss at times in taking down the Christmas
What's
lights,
the latest you've gone?
Oh, I bet I've gone into February before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, so I don't feel so bad.
No.
I'm not a criminal. I've never been more
disgusted at you two in my entire life than right now. I'm Spartan about that shit. Yeah. I'm like, it's January 8th. This shit's been up here way too long. Because I also, is there a day where you put it up?
Well, yeah, it's usually the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's the Saturday after Thanksgiving is when the shit comes out and everything goes up.
Yeah. I think Josh is just much more anus about this.
I'd like to think. I'd like to think that a single strand of lights, though, is tasteful tardiness.
Okay, well, hold on. What we haven't discussed is what the lights look like.
They are multicolored, just a single
strand
of lights.
Okay, now they need to come down. They need to come down.
They don't
now,
twinkle.
If they were just like, if they were just regular white lights, you can maybe pull that off because that's because
it's a car dealership look.
No, because you see people do that in the summertime. They'll have strands of whites,
sure,
as long as they're clear or that white clear light, but. Once you dabble into the colored lights, you're like, nah, those are Christmas lights.
All right. Well, today, after we're done, I will go out and I will.
Thank you.
I'll take the little snips and I'll.
Can you also cut that little piece of string that's hanging off of your. That's where a balloon.
It's been up there for a month since Vivian's birthday. Mylar balloon. Yeah, that one got chopped up in the gate when the first time somebody opened it.
What happened to in front of your neighbor's house? Did it, like a white bird explode?
What happened?
Did you
No, I didn't notice that.
When you go out of the neighbor on the side.
East or west?
West. There's like just white feathers all up and down the street. And it looks like a white bird exploded right in front of your neighbor's house.
No.
I thought for sure you were going to bitch about that.
No, yeah. I had no idea.
Go look at it. There's like, it's weird because I came walking up. I'm like, what is going on?
I didn't see that at all.
Tell you what, though. There are some birds I'd like to do that to around here. The crows around here?
Are they loud?
They're the size of chickens.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge.
Did I ever tell you about the time I came walking out of my apartment in North Hollywood? Did I ever tell you about the wildlife that I found outside of my apartment in North Hollywood, California? I found one time I opened up my door and almost stepped on a raccoon.
Wow.
And it nonchalantly looked up at me, slowly climbed the fence, got on top of the fence, and stared at me through my window like it was my fault. I almost stepped on a raccoon.
Hey, come back out here!
Yeah. One time I walked out and I found a duckling, a little mallard duck. We named him Steve McQueen, and I don't know why. And then we took him to an animal shelter. And then one time I found a chicken.
Wow.
And, yeah. Well, there was a chicken. North Hollywood just running around by my car. And then one time I was, okay, this is gross. I had like canvas, like Vans shoes on, you know, or actually I think, no, they weren't Chucks. They were some type of canvas thin shoes, you know. Uh-huh. And I was walking around the corner and to take the garbage out. And it was early. It was like fall and it was like 8 o'clock. So it was dark out, but it wasn't like completely nighttime yet. And I come walking around this corner and we didn't have any lights in the back. So it was pitch black. Mm-hmm. And I come walking around this corner. And at the same time, this gigantic rat was running down the sidewalk and we met at the corner and he ran face first into my shoe and I could still feel his little body because I was wearing those canvas shoes just like crumple onto my toe and then it was like ew! And it turned around and ran right away and I like threw the garbage up in the air and ran back.
Oh my God.
So I got bowled over by a rat.
Well, Sam, you posted on Instagram a couple months ago when Claire came home.
Oh yeah.
What was she?
What was that? I couldn't see in the video. It was a security.
It was a skunk.
Video.
Oh, that's right.
Was it a skunk?
Yeah.
Yes. And she shrieked and ran down the street. Yeah, skunk was
did it
waddling up in our. No, amazingly, that didn't spray. We see skunks fairly frequently in our neighborhood, which is right in the foothills, and but yeah, that was a weird thing. I caught a rat yesterday. Matter of fact. I took a picture of it. You want to see it?
Sam's rat.
Wound up like my gerbil.
Yeah. Is it also depressed?
Yes.
Did you hear about the rats in City Hall? City Hall is like overcome with rats. I thought that was just a great metaphor.
Oh, you caught them with a trap.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, it was a direct hit.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Well, at least that last moment, that cheese must have been delicious.
Yeah, and I said to Paige, I said, oh, look at this picture. I said, oh. She said, reset the trap. We got action.
Now, you know when you taste something, taste is your taste buds accompanied by your olfactory senses helping you. And then, you know, that is a electrical impulse that goes to your brain. And, you know, your olfactory nerve can then determine what something tastes like. Do you think that that rat had an idea of what that tasted like before that steel got down? Or do you think the electrons made it in time or not?
I don't know. That was pretty fast snap. I think it was anticipating. It was a smear of peanut butter. So it smelled that. And then, oh boy. I felt a little bad, but.
You know what? That's the way to go. Right?
Yeah.
If you're going to go. If I have to go, that's how I want to do it. I want to be like, oh, this is an amazing cake or something like that. And I'm eating it and I'm like, damn, this is good. Then whap, I'm done. I don't even know about
off
it. Yeah, exactly. You never knew it was coming and you're just like, you were enjoying life while it was happening.
Right.
I think you're a saint.
You know what? That was a good deed I did.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really look at it that way, but I'm feeling good about myself.
Are we going to do face bag? Is that what you're going
to
do?
Yeah, I think so.
Before that, real quick, sure. I wanted to bring this up because I texted you guys about this. A long time ago, I think it was just a show me and you were doing, we had talked about Limburger cheese.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of kept it in my head to keep a lookout for it.
Limburger cheese tastes great.
I've never had it.
It smells like feces.
Have you had it?
My dad, when I was little, my dad got it once, and it smelled like Famunda cheese.
speaking of olfactory senses, now do you think you could eat it again? If I buy some and make, because I remember when I worked at the Elks, all these old.
I'll watch you guys
old,
eat that.
Yeah, Sam's like, oh, I'll gladly watch Josh eat it.
Sure, sure, I'll try some.
But you're supposed to put on rye with some onion. And eat,
is that right with
onion?
Like I didn't
sandwich.
Know that.
Yeah. Would you try, if I buy some, will you try it with me?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't buy it this time, but I finally found it and I was like, oh my God, Limburger, I have to try this.
Huh. You know what?
Did you smell it?
No, it was like, it was wrapped up like a cream cheese. Like there was no way any scent was getting out of that thing.
Yeah. You know, I could probably take this mixer out to the table and run a line.
Well,
back
I wonder
here.
If we
should
just...
have a, we should have like a complete barbecuing session.
I think
sometimes.
That's genius. Let's do it in the summer when it's
that's
nice
what I'm saying.
Okay,
great.
So I should should I buy the Limburger and just keep it in my fridge?
I bet it'll keep. you can bring drawer. That. You can bring
this
that
Limburger
in.
Smells like it's gone bad.
Said no one ever.
How bad would it have to smell?
You can bring it in, and we'll try it in here as long as it doesn't end up on the floor on top of a cheese.
The trifecta
with a cricket on top of it.
You think now? Do you think that cricket died a happy death? He was like, "Oh, guitar picking and cheese it. I can't take it. It just died."
Died of hardened arteries from the 3 pounds of butter that are in that.
Oh, by the way, every time I talk to my mom, she's like, "How's Andy doing?"
Aww.
Yeah,
she's a sweetheart. By the way, my friend Thor texted me one day and he said, "I'm just catching up on old episodes." Something to the effect of, "Josh's parents are my favorite people in the world ever." So they're beloved in Yaffle.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
By the way, pull up any.
I got some. Well, I haven't been here for a while, so I got a couple. I got to eat a couple emails. I got these are from some old episodes. David Flournoy, I guess. I hope I'm saying right. He gives me four bullet points. It says, "How dare you speak ill of Guitar Shorty, aka Lord Hendrix's brother-in-law?" Which I did. I forgot about that. He's married into Jimi Hendrix's family. Somehow.
Really?
Yes, Guitar Moo Moo. "And I'm offended that you guys drank John Daly's horse piss but wouldn't try a delicious Brompton Buller, which is any malt liquor mixed with Cactus Cooler." God. And then his second bullet point is, "Ketchup is disgusting, mustard on everything," which is garbage. That's not true.
No, that's true.
Isn't it?
Ketchup
is amazing.
Ketchup has limited use. Ketchup you will can sometimes use on a like on a veggie burger or hamburger to make it a little bit more juicy. And
hot dogs?
Ketchup on a hot dog? No, sir.
All right. You know what? I'm going to put this down for a second. I think we need to talk. Have we talked about hot dogs yet?
Yes, we have.
Okay, then I'll put this down.
with French fries of any sort. By the way, you can't have potatoes, can you?
You want a news flash?
Yeah.
I'm off the diet.
What?
I'm still fasting.
Yeah?
But I decided to go off the diet. I don't think that diet is intended to be something that's like...
It is not.
Years long.
No.
And I've been on it for like a year.
16 months.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to kick back. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm just jamming potatoes in my mouth and like eating broth.
Right.
I'm still eating a little healthier. I'm eating bread. And I'm, you know, not that much bread, but I'm trying to kickstart my metabolism again because
uh-huh.
I kind of hit just a plateau. And it's like, this can't be that good for you to do all the time. So I'm going to get back into eating a little bit more normal, but I'm still fasting.
Fast and add in a regular, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, just walk for 30 minutes, you know, five times a week. And that in conjunction with that will do wonders.
And you know what? And I've been having these weird, like, hip pains. And you know what I've been doing every night that has just completely saved my life?
Heroin?
Yes, heroin. I take a baseball and lay down on the floor and I stick it in my ass. Not in my ass, on my ass. I stick it like right on that sciatic nerve and I just do like the twist. I start dancing around and I can't imagine what Owen's thinking because he's already like he probably like wakes up out of a you know in a haze because it's like 9:30 he's already been asleep for an hour and all he just hears is it is
you know what's great to do is if you're doing that and then someone walks in the room as you're doing it
what?
So you just move you're on the baseball
they
just move around on it for a while then you get up and the baseball's laying there saying, oh god.
There it is.
Got it out.
Finally.
I knew that pitch was inside. But yeah.
Let's talk about a foul ball.
Exactly. So
slider.
Screwball. what were we talking about? Oh, face bagging.
Face bagging.
So yeah. So ketchup is great. He says, call Jackie. And then he says, YouTube guitar shorty, pork chop song. I don't need a YouTube guitar shorty. I live to guitar shorty. All right, so that's David Flournoy. Do you have one or you want me to do another one?
Go ahead. I've just got the phone messages from the app line. We'll get to those after you're done.
I just got this one recently. It says, hi, Josh. This is from Amy Fiala. Hi, Josh. I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm a follower of your group from your days on Mark in the Morning. I love your podcast, and I'm slightly behind. I'm in mid-August as I write this. That's because I go in order between yours and Mark's two podcasts. I love the way you all started off as acquaintances and now are all best friends, ailments and all. Just wanted to say hi and I'll let you know when I'm all caught up. Maybe I'll give you my number so I can get a phone call, but only on a beer episode when you guys are a little tipsy, which means our best work is when we are
absolutely.
But yeah, thanks for writing. Go ahead.
Nicely done.
Yeah, beautiful.
All right, well, we got a couple of messages on the YAF line. Once again, it's 626-657-6428. I love this because we've regularly gotten phone calls past couple of months. There's been at least a couple of phone calls each time.
What's the words?
Oh, it's amok PM hat. OAMOK PM hat or SM hat if that's the way.
Smat.
That's the way you go. Amok PM hat 626-657-6428. And let's see, we've got one here from. Is that turned up and ready to go? I sure hope so.
Did we get a.
Andy, Josh, Larry, Sam, how are you guys? Hey, I'm listening to the Louisville episode right now, and Josh, what the fuck, dude? Were you sleeping all the way through school? I'm 54, and we did learn greater than less than. Notations back when I was like maybe third grade, fourth grade, so that's got to be over 45 years ago. So, It's not a new phenomenon, dude. It's been around for a long ass time. Love the show, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Just thought I'd share that with you, Josh.
That
bye-bye.
Shit's new to me. I don't remember that class. Where are you from? Oh, I'm a little tongue.
Oh, this one's going to be good. You ready for this?
Hi, this is George from Long Beach, and here is the Magic Castle trivia. I'll keep it short this time.
I doubt it.
The Magic Castle is one of the few buildings in the world that is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. We think only Disney has the same technology. Anyway, time to talk about the big game. I work for Dell EMC, and I work in Irvine, and half of our team works in Hopkinton. Now, Hopkinton is 26.2 miles from Boston. I know that because the Boston Marathon starts in Hopkinton and is 26.2 miles. So here we have it, the grudge match where Rams fans are going to go against the Patriots. Of course, we have Jared Goff from Cal, and I am a Cal alumni from 79. So we are going to have a good game on Sunday, and then Monday morning is going to be kind of interesting. Like to hear your take on it in the next podcast. Talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks, George, for the weekly. What's that? That's the... Did you take your headphones off? Josh tapped out on that one, George. How is that a riddle? Something that's bigger on the inside?
I don't know. What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's something you know, I say about my...
Call back next week and explain that, because I think we don't know what the hell you're talking about.
It's larger on the inside than on the outside.
What's the measurement, though, that he's going by? Square foot inside than square foot outside?
I don't know. That was the most interesting part of that call, though.
Now I'm just, I don't know, I'm more confused. Yeah.
I want to know.
Call back next week and further explain that.
Now you're asking him to call back.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here next week.
Oh,
and the 26.2 miles is interesting, too, because the marathon is in a straight line. It's not like...
It's not as the crow flies.
But maybe it's just a way of remembering.
Well, but
I think that phone call left us all a little bit more confused.
There were more questions
about life.
There were more questions in that phone call than answers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his deal. Maybe because he's like all into the Magic Castle.
How could Hopkinton be 26.2 miles from Boston and the marathon starts in Hopkinton?
Maybe they run the freeway.
Unless you cross, unless it's a perfectly straight line. Yeah.
Well, and you, I don't think it's as the crow flies, 26.2 miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but when they say, maybe he's right, because when they say measurements and distances of roads, they take account the turns and everything, like mile markers.
Yeah. So it must
they
don't be, say, yeah.
So I think
not
right.
as the crow flies.
Yeah, not right, as the crow flies. Right. It might only be like 15 miles away, but as the road bends and everything, it's 26.2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopkinton is actually bigger on the inside. It's a weird.
It's the only city like that.
Hey, great to see you guys.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was
great.
Glad to have you back.
I'm really stoked to be back.
So next glad you're doing the open.
I'll do the LA or the Genesis Open, and then combine, owners meetings.
Owners meetings. What's on the docket for being considered in the owners meetings?
You know, one of the things they're looking at is the onside kick and the numbers. The competition committee's looking at
making it more possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they've dropped down to like 7% or something.
Isn't it one of the new leagues using they're just starting off at 25, and then instead of an onside kick, you get a 4th and 12.
Fourth and 12, I believe you start on the 28.
Yeah, and if you don't convert it, then they just get the ball on the 28.
Yes, exactly. Which I think would be great.
How about this horse shit? How about overtime with a flip of a coin? It's bullshit. Coming down to a flip of a coin, so both teams don't get to have a chance.
Well, here's the problem:
at the ball
is that they
do. They do.
No, they
unless
don't. Unless they get a touchdown.
Well, if they get a touchdown, then
game's over.
Game's over, right.
Which is horseshit.
But a field goal, obviously, the other team gets
right.
A chance.
But only one team, after you play an hour to a draw, it comes down to a flip of a fucking coin?
Right, right. You could have it. You could have a statistic, you know, yards per play or total yards or something like that determine.
What, who gets it?
Who gets it?
But I think both sides need to have possession of the ball no matter what, or it's not cricket. It's not fair.
You know what? Here, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that the Super Bowl would have been a little different had New Orleans had that play been called?
Oh,
correctly?
I think so. I think offensively, the Rams shut down. They were, you know, sort of unimaginative and stalled like they did in Chicago, and really kind of went back to how they played against Detroit for a half, how they played against Chicago, how they played against Philadelphia, and reverted to that.
I think Breeze just having a little bit more experience.
Yeah, Breeze is right. I think they had a little bit more offensive variety and probably would have made a game.
Now, as of right now, who do you think of the playoff teams, or just any of the teams, which ones do you think have a better chance of being back? Which one? Who do you think this is going to affect more, the Rams or the Saints?
I think that the Rams have a good chance of repeating what they did. I think they're a good team, young quarterback, only getting better. You know, offensive line played really well, and I think Todd Gurley will be back. That's a real mystery.
Right.
But I look at the Chiefs too.
Yeah.
And
I think
Patrick
they're
going
to be around a while with him.
Yeah. And he'll be interesting and you know, it's early to tell before the draft, but those are teams. You know, I just look at quarterbacks who are over 40. Drew Brees now, Tom Brady. I just wonder how much longer it'll last. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we wondered that about Brady, and he played well enough.
Well, you're not allowed to hit him, so
yeah.
And we didn't talk about it since then, but. Hats off to Frank Reich and what he was able to do in his first year in Indianapolis.
Amazing.
Andrew
Luck.
Did anybody think a year ago that the Colts would be in the playoffs?
And there's a good chance they might have Le'Veon Bell next year.
How about that?
Yeah. Could you imagine?
That makes the difference.
That's really going to be a fun team to watch.
Get a franchise running back and
pass catching running back that knows how to pass ball.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a sort of a throwback to the
with the offensive line they've got now.
Lethal Weapon 3 that they had back in the
with Edgerrin James. Marvin Harrison and mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be fun. I like it. I like it a lot. How can people get a hold of you, Josh?
You can email me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com. Also, look us up on Facebook and rate the show. That helps us, whether you like us or not. Give us 1 star and say this is terrible, these people are horrible, or give us 5 and be like, I want to party with
them. Or lie.
Dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm at sam.farmer@latimes.com and at latimesfarmer on Twitter.
All right. Larry is under my porch.
Larry's out front taking the lights down.
And I'm Andy Chanley on Instagram. DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. Jeez, and like Andy _Chanley
watching him age on before my eyes,
Twitter.
Right? It's like his hips are all going out, and I don't even remember his name.
Well, I have to remember how each of them is. I made it difficult. I don't know why I did that.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Why is that baseball?
Jazz hands.
Huh? Nothing.
Baseball.